Mayor, welcome, members of the public and fellow members. Could everyone please make sure that mobile phones are switched off or on silent? Before the number of speakers tonight, each speaker or frequency speaker will give a 30 second audible warning. And all members have a copy of the agenda. And we'll also check out some more, which is apologies for absence, please. Agenda item 2, minutes of the meeting held on the 10th of May 2016. And you, the other second, third. Thank you. I'll pull that to the vote then. All those in favour. Thank you. Agenda item 3, urgent business. I have no urgent business. Agenda item 4, declarations of interest. Councillor Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Item 13, it is personal, it is peculiar, it's actually in the room.
Thank you. Councillor Andrews.
Aside from the approach taken by our neighbouring councils of
does that will be directed towards the comparisons for level cells between neighbouring councils and sort of national average, and where you fit in that? Or is it the standard of percent?
I'm not quite sure what's happened there, Jenny, but my microphone's switch off.
Well, I'm trying.
Councillor
Andrews, can you turn it off? Could you turn it off?
The essence of SIL is that each community infrastructure lending charge is to the particular evidence that arises from a particular council, so very much based on development economics and what development can effectively stomach in some respects in terms of developer contributions. But for example, our high and low levels are broadly comparable with Hamilton's, for example. I mean, it's slightly higher than Hamilton's still, but there again we're about 12 months behind, so you'd expect it to be a little bit higher. If you compare that to some of the southern authorities, it's way lower because of the general property valuations that exist. So the SIL that we have, we just have two zones, a high zone and a low zone, and they are, I think, £8,500 depending on which zone it's in. But that was examined in a similar, a local planning examination chain. So an independent inspector comes along and then examined it. So this is about, now we've adopted it, how developers on triggering community infrastructure lending payments then would make payments, and it triggers on commencement. Obviously you appreciate payments on scale of the development. If the developer hasn't then received all the receipts in at the outset because it's all being outside. So this is about how we might look at phasing payment. Councillor Irvine, position.
Thank you. Councillor would be approve it.
From day one, we already have that. We've been doing it since 1st of March. We appreciate it's a moving time, but we've already had the first liability notice in, which is just for, I think, for a single dwelling, but we appreciate it, it's probably at the lower end of the spectrum. Until we adopt a phased payment at the moment, if we had a bigger scheme coming at the moment, it would potentially be triggering very early on in the process as opposed to spreading it out. But as soon as we adopt this, then we'll do this operation.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Okay, I'll move the Office recommendation from the Chair. We'll just go to full council. Thank you. So I've been moved and seconded, so I'll recommend it. I'll put that to the motions. All those in favour, please. Thank you. That's unanimous. Thank you. Now we move on to agenda item 6, the schedule of actions to be determined by a committee. So item 7 is application number 16.00404. Growth major outline, application site plan to the north of Sutton Grange, Lansing Road, north of Morton.
Thank you, Chairman, and you probably already have noticed that this item 7 is also closely linked to item 8. In fact, item 7 and 8 are, for all intents and purposes, identical applications to applications which were previously refused at this committee, and indeed, purely coincidentally, the sort of inquiry to the refusal of both those applications has started today, which is why we're here rather than override our house, because we can appreciate county changes, that's what we call barristers and walks and all the rest. And in essence, the recommendation, as you'll see from the agenda papers, is identical to the previous recommendations of refusal, Chairman. I think possibly all members of this planning committee would probably say, with the exception of Councillor Andrews, that I think was here when he was in the last application.
quickly help it by running through the photographs of the site and surroundings, because what we have are two separate sites. One, a small site of six dwellings, or up to six dwellings, and I'm trying to speak to this one, which is in this area here. In fact, sorry, I'm a bit of problems with the technology. I think we're sitting just in here somewhere. It's that close as we can get to a site without having one, I think, Jen. So this is Langton Road. This is Langton Bar, which is grade two. This is a building in its own right, substantial. This is the bar. This is the adjacent dwelling house in this area here, which has its own access off Langton Road. This is the application site in this area here, which is north of the access track serving Southern Range. Okay, so this is what we call site A, it's the up to six dwellings. The next application I'm going to make is for up to 79 dwellings in this area here, and I'll talk more about that in a few moments' time. So what I'd like to do, so if you just quickly press the next one. So this is the application site. As you can see, probably a little bit more detail, this is the barn complex, which itself has been converted into residential units, and two small single-storey units in this area here, which occupy the space of some former farm buildings. What isn't shown on that plan in this area here, just to the north of the tree area, is a development of eight single-storey dwellings, which had their access through here, a few state developments, and I have some photographs of those in a few moments. But as you can see, this site here is particularly limited in area, and the developable area is even less, partly to address, as far as the applicant is concerned, the impacts of the development on the setting of the adjacent listed building, and also the undesignated heritage asset. So we've got two heritage assets, one grade two listed, one undesignated. So this is the view, where we are really, looking out of the town down towards Langton. And the application site is behind this large bank of trees in this area here. And this is the hedgerow on the front of the site. And at this time of the year, obviously that hedgerow is in full leaf, so it acts as a perfect screen where it's actually the full hedgerow. This is looking back the other way. And this is a gap through that hedgerow. So there are some gaps in the hedgerow. And at this point here, of course, with the fact of photograph taken in July last year, you can see that the application site in this area here is also a paddock with hedgerows behind it. And behind it, you can see the outline of the listed farm. And this is the existing access to the Southern Barn complex. So this is to the north of that. And here you just get a feel for the backs of the eight bungalows that I just referred to, which are being built in that location here. This is another view, obviously, when the trees aren't in leaf, so you get a totally different feel for how it, but it is at different times of the year. And this is in the foreground one of the outbuildings of the Listed Farm Complex. And this is another view of the Listed Farm Complex. As you can see, it's a substantial Listed Farm. When I describe it as a barn, it's not a suitable barn. It's a magnificent building. And this is what it looks like now. It's been converted within the courtyard area. So as you can see, it's a substantial building. We don't have too many barns, but this is one very nice. But this is the one. Again, this is another view from within the site where the development will take place. And again, you get more of a view of that barn from. So it's that setting of the barn, really, which at the moment is in a very pastoral landscape. This is the area which would be then occupied by the dwelling. And this is the access to Southern Grange itself. So again, the reason this is sort of there is that you can see behind it Southern Grange. And I think it's the next one. And across, and that's the barn again. So again, at times of the year where you've got not a tree in there, you've got a really good view of the barn itself, and its setting is quite pretty unique, but it's very rare to see a building of this scale listed in landscape. That's a view filled with the driveway in the summer, so you see the trees in there, so you appreciate it at different times of the year, you're getting better around spring, but nevertheless the character of the farm is very much from set in the rural landscape. And this is a view from within the site, looking south back towards Sutton Grange. So again, where Sutton Grange isn't listed, surprisingly so in some respects, it is nevertheless considered by the Building Conservation Area to be an undesignated heritage asset. And that's one of the issues that's being considered also at the appeal that's ongoing. So that was it, Chairman. I don't have any updates on this particular application, Chairman. The application is recommended for review for the matter before for our inquiry, Chairman. Thank you. Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Chairman. Gary, I have a number of questions to your bill. What a time of.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing is, can I just have confirmation that this site is outside the development units?
It is.
Right, the designated development units is outside. Have we got a 5-year housing plan?
Yes, Chairman, that's set out in the report. In fact, we have a value to date figure. It's 5.8 years currently. That's not the raw supply, by the way, it's the trajectorised supply, because some of the sites that we have will roll on beyond the 5 years, so it's not just the raw supply, but the trajectorised, we're a trajectorised supply, so we claim 5.8 years supply, and I'm sure that will be being debated at length this week, but nevertheless that's based on our outlining.
And last thing, we are clear that this area that has been applied for development is not concord with our local plan, is not part of our decision to have development in this area.
I think, Chairman, the situation in terms of the same development is really what Sir Councillor Goodrich is referring to. It's not necessarily one where, as a council, we have refused applications which go beyond the development, but having looked at the plan as a whole. And clearly, there are some elements of the plan, because the development is so old, where developers would take the view that they could be argued to be out of date. However, the plan is recently adopted, so in terms of the strategy and the principle, and the principles of where development should be going to be established in the plan, and in principle, Malton North is identified as development where we might be looking at the greenfield sites if they're appropriate. But in that sense, clearly then, there are a whole raft of the policies in the plan which you then reuse that process, not least the fact that there are different landscape sensitivities, notwithstanding the fact that there are different heritage sensitivities, and all of those things. We've got this particular site and the others in the vicinity lead us to suggest to you, recommend to you, that taken as a whole, this development is contrary to the plan. It assists us greatly that we have more than 5 year housing supply, because then the presumption in favour of development couldn't trigger. So that's the key factor. And I'm sure the scientists will argue strongly tomorrow their case, but clearly the plan figure is too much. We've been delivering that level for the last 3 years. The result of the plan enabling us to grant permission for appropriate sites. And some of those have been on occasion outside of development, and I think the very last continuity before those are sites that we've considered on its merits, even though it's outside of development, which makes sense.
Thank you. Councillor Mazzisciu.
Of the 6 houses proposed on this site, is any of them going to be affordable?
That's a very good question. In the sense that the developer contribution situation relating to small sites has just been totally turned on its head again by the recent Court of Appeal decision relating to the West Berkshire and Reading case, which I think has counselled at least twice in terms of what level we can seek affordable housing contributions as an authority. And the West Archer and Reading case initially successfully challenged the minister's position, and he said,
although it shouldn't be seeking contributions on small sites. But actually the recent court judgment turned that on its head again. So the current advice is that authorities should not be seeking contributions from small sites of this nature, of this number. And that is something that, again, we're going to have to come back to planning committee with a report and back to council again, because it's been turned over in this case. So as it stands at the moment, the authority is not in a position to request or require affordable housing from this site because of the small number.
Are there any more questions? Okay, we'll move it to the end now. Joe, have a look in and talk to you. Do we have a look, member? Councillor Schiff, sorry, did you?
Well, Chairman, I'm a county member, so. It is nearly a year since we had this application, and refused it with full support and very valid reasons, so everyone knows from our own offices. The size of the one, as you can see, lies within a well-wooded house at the south end of Norton on this Dramaton Road. It's a very vast woodland area. The town possesses and is greatly valued by residents and visitors alike. Beyond it, lying immediately across the south, there's open cut-back countryside, as we have seen. This is not any other farm. See what some people think. It is needed, say, for change of use or even for taking down, which is falling now. But it's a well-built, substantial, magnificent building it is, which is an example, indeed, a sort of symbol of an earlier age, probably from the later Middle Ages. And consequently, it needs to be preserved. It is ancient, it's historic building, and it was spiritualistic. And it's fascinating both in its size and its shape. There are very few in this category in my mouth, and I suspect very few also in the whole of England. Many barns, as you know, have disappeared completely. Because of its status and because of its situation, farm does not need to be delivered or even site destroyed by the presence of 21st century blocks of bricks and cement, with all the concomitant problems that would bring up. Furthermore, the approach to the site leads on to one of the busiest roads in Norton. Everyone must be aware of the fact that there are several hundred children who come to school here every day and have to access the college from Langton Road. In addition, by September next year, there will be two extra classes for the youngest children from Norton Primary School, who will have to make their way along the Langton Road as far as what is currently a Brooklyn Youth Club, and this will become the centre of their education. This is because, as I'm sure many people know, the primary school is well overflowing with children. And years ago, we should have had a new school, and they were to propose later on down the road, but we should have had a new school many years ago, and the county Martin has been very remiss in this matter. Last, but by no means least, that road here is used by the Norton Racehorse trainers, who exercise their very, very valuable animal on this stretch of road. The addition of construction work vehicles going to and from the site will add tremendously to the traffic on an already busy section of tarmac. It really doesn't bear thinking about, because if this is approved, then it will mean there is yet another entrance and exit opposite nearly the school for vehicles to come in and out. Will all be attendant dangers to both people and animals. In addition, I know a lot of people walk their dogs quite regularly up and down that section as well. This is going to be a very overcrowded road to go through. So it seems to me that the excellent reasons provided by our planning officers last time still calls good. I'm sure you have this.
Chairman. I agree with the officer's recommendation and also everything the Councillor Shields has said. And I have some difficulty understanding why the developer is insisting this matter should be heard tonight when they're in the middle of the appeal. I can't understand that at all. I don't think I should leave it to bear for that, Chairman. I think I have to say I'm disappointed that the County Council is failing their debts on highways grounds. It's quite clear that the government in that case would only ask for congestion, or only have to ask for that problem to put it to the government and elsewhere, and will have to be air quality issues. I have actually lost all faith in the council because following their suggestion, for example, there's 600 houses on the other side of the Garden Road and the Showfield, and a huge superstore elements, all that traffic could be accommodated in a single special portion lane. I've looked at some of the suggestions towards dealing with the air quality issue, contributions towards improved warning signs at the simple site, contributions towards the chapel plan, which can't be enforced, contributions towards the church and chapel management improvements, which will do nothing to prevent traffic as moving, going through with the policy and blocking the roads there. And the series of points that lay on item 20.5, one electric charging point within the site, absolutely ridiculous. And how's that going to force people to go on out, being forced to buy electric cars? Of course not. As regards the racing issue, I have received complaints by residents who send their children to school in Norton about the conflict between racing animals traffic and the and school traffic. That's going to be exacerbated. Racing will be the race course owner, business, the equestrian business, I know do their best to minimise that conflict of traffic. I'm particularly disappointed that the Water Authority failed to object. The Water Authority and the Environment Agency, they know that there is a combined sewage and surface water drainage system. They know that when those surface water drains are surcharged, they flow into the power water system, and the foul water then comes up in people's gardens and blow down. And they don't seem to care about these things, and they are not, they might be, they're not carrying out their duty, and realise that because they have not made formally made objection, this council cannot support those, this council cannot make objections of its own. But I think it is quite deplorable. And I really do hope this committee will agree with the recommendation and refuse this application. Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be brief. I'm satisfied that we've got the necessary housing supply that does not require us to release the plan for housing. I am satisfied that there is substantial harm to a listed building and an unlisted designated asset. I am satisfied that it would impact and would have impact on our racing community, which is part of our economic prosperity of Rydell, and they contribute greatly to this district's economy. And if it hasn't already been seconded, I second Councillor Shields' proposal for refusal. And on that point, I also wish, since we have a local plan and we have local members, that actually developers would take note of what is contained in that local plan and the views of local members and stop bringing back applications of this nature.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Councillor Long.
Thank you. I fully agree with the officer's report on this.
section bottom of the impact assessment on the applicant on matters of heritage, that only minor moderate adverse impact on the setting of something called Stone Barn was regarded as a positive benefit. I think this probably puts other benefits into context. I think it's a fabulous building, and I should go and visit it. I think it would not have any way to have on housing in front of it.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Okay, it's been moved and seconded for refusal, so I'll put that to vote. All those in favour of refusal, please show. So if you turn in from Langton Road and you're heading towards Welland Road,
This is where the footway, there's a little bit of a raised footway which goes on the left. There is no footway adjacent to the carriageway here. It's got very poor forward visibility. So I think that particularly because it's concerned with all racing in the street, because they all say, well, some of them access along Basie's Range and then to them use the gallops at the other end. And that gives you an idea of the sort of hedgerow screen that's on the side of Basie's Lane. And this is another typical example of that bend, so you can't really see ahead of yourself. In fact, I did drive along it this afternoon. It's not a comfortable road to drive along it. You can't see in advance. And I saw the only redeeming feature there is that I was driving really slow, so I didn't know what was going around the corner. There was a horse, there was a car, there was a thing. And this is the. This is the site here, so this is Basie's Lane. I was just talking around this area here in particular. But you can see now racehorses take routes to get on the gallops. So the gallops are in yellow and the routes of the horses are in red. So you can see they're moving around in this area, so it's quite an unusual set of circumstances. Because of that, we have received a representation from the racing industry. You can imagine Rachel Smith case officer did go back to highways again with this application, and the detailed comments of the highways developer depend on phase 3 of the other pages. And again, they noted the concern that I think as highway engineers they decided that they didn't think they could substantiate an objection on hundreds of different types of traffic arising from this scale of development. So the site that we've just considered is here. This is the one further south, and obviously a more substantial scheme change. In terms of updates, the highway authorities that I've just mentioned is on page 3 of the main pages. Council has made reference to air quality assessments, which actually is a higher figure than stated in the committee report. It should read £59,055, Chairman, not and in terms of surface water drainage, concerns continue to have been raised by Councillor Potter, rather district councillor, and also by the local flood authority. I think the interesting slight change in circumstances since the last time I dealt with this application was the role of the local flood authority previously very much given to the environment agency. In essence, the view of the Environment Agency is still that while surface water drainage is undoubtedly an issue locally, that they did not object and would ordinarily just require a scheme of requirements that would be not an example of the channel. So undoubtedly what matters is a genuine concern over the channel, and the response that we have today to not suggested adding further reasons for refusal on those grounds. So again, Chairman, we refuse essentially for the same reasons that we refused the last time. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Okay, we'll go to the Councillor Mr. Shields.
was our policy was about 27.65 pounds to belong to the guard, 26.5 of the house, so the housing manager would normally request 27 units to meet whatever the local need would be, be it one or two of those flats. 27.65 was a community sum. Thank you.
The original plan was approved in 2011 as you can see, the the front elevation of the dwelling, there are two front dormer extensions of the front roof slope. I'm showing the revised. See, that's just now been replaced by a roof right there, and that's the obvious view when sort of looking from the street or Main Street in the loop. This is the application just to the VATA, actually on Main Street, it's ahead again in the North Valley Village, that's on the left side, so it's basically on the railway crossing. So there is a dwelling. So there are two front dormer windows. If you look, she has a shop looking north street. Looking south, you can actually see sort of on the existing street scene on the Main Street doesn't really contain any dormer windows. So we've got there's the shipwreck boarding as well on the gate of the lens. That's further down Main Street. This is the gravel to the front elevation. With more details of window, I'll go through the objections. There's the garage to the rear. That's the VATA site. That's the neighbouring dwelling to the south. You see sort of similarities in design in terms of the brick fixtures, in terms of the colouring. That's the rear garden of the dwelling, the garage, and a small patch of the garden. That's the rear garden. That's a single story rear elevation. Single story projection. Just going through the objections, the flat, then objection from number 47 Wells, which was the dwelling. That dwelling to the south, the one from Millfield Marsh, which was to the north, and the sign also from the parish council. And objections related to the flat roof at the rear of the site. That's from Zone Wells, and the windows to the side elevation, which are, this window here, which faces south onto 7 Wells, and in terms of potential to loss of privacy, the window is only the two lanes and the fixtures shut, and concerned of whether it's at least a building on fire regulations, they have to inform us that it's a 300 expected to be building regulations. The objections from the occupiers of the Millfield Lodge to object against the flat roof and to the rear of the property. Due to the detached nature of the site, not all that's visible from the public view, and also the expected nature of the planning application. Also, the Mullerbean Parish Council have objected again over the window. In terms of the shipwreck boarding on the side gate, then, as you can see, there is not no keeping of the materials used within the village. Concerns over the front boundary treatment, and concerns over the drainage. In terms of the front boundary treatment, the applicant had originally constructed a brick wall to the front, and not according to the approved plans. As a result, we haven't actually asked them to demolish it and move back and create a fence as per the originally approved plans. Some of the highways and they now have no objection to the proposal. We did receive an email from the Lovely Parish Council as well recently, just reiterating the concerns over the window and also the in terms of whether it meets building regulations, just concerned over the fact that it's been marked as a 5-bedroom dwelling, but it's only planned permission for a 4-bedroom dwelling. We've been that one of the ground floor and it's been marked as a living slash bedroom. In terms of the retrospective nature of the application, for you in accordance with council policy and scheme recommended for approval.
Thank you. Other questions? Councillor Mr. Smart.
Thank you. Just on the could you box this conditions to follow?
Sorry about that, because in terms of the conditions in terms of retrospective measures, some of the conditions were pre-pensement conditions they've been dealt with, gone through the contamination, and survey should be carried out. But yeah, this demonstrates a very small section of the one you've seen in the previous photographs, and let's do that. And Northfield should have sort of advised that they dealt all the high risk conditions, bar one, which relates to the time for the payment. I believe high risk is indirectly the applicant and relates to some high risk sites in the south, so that's what I was going to tell with that. And then there's just the other three plans.
Any more questions?
Thank you. Chairman Moore's done.
Thank you, Chair. This application again is from the Section 73 application. It's a fuller house in Normandy. Permission was granted for two new dwellings in 2013. These dwellings have been constructed and they're now occupied. There's two issues where the site is not constructing in accordance with the approved plans. I'll show you the objection and the photos in the second level. The first issue is on the western side, which is the frontage on Main Street. There's an issue with the landscaping and then building carried in accordance with the approved plans in terms of that hedging. And on the southern boundary, which faces on the church, there's the front section of the wall, existing wall, is a stone wall. The back section is rather than the wall, which you need actually have a fence. So these are the two main issues. We have other objections from the church and a number of local residents relating to obviously the loss of the wall. And the absence of mature grapes, mature trees. I'll just go through the photograph. This is looking south on Main Street in Norway. The application site is the lowest of hedges there, so I'll just keep them there. So it's just a few photographs just give an indication of the prevailing nature of the landscape within Normandy. That's roughly opposite the site again, looking south for the turns, you see the mixed hedging. Again, another shot from the slightly further south. That's roughly opposite the site, so you can see some mixed native hedge along the frontage. This is heading south out of the village, you've got the churchyard on your left, and the wall there, and this is looking north towards the church on your right, looking towards the application site. This is the actual hedge that's been planted on to the application site. So the laurel was taken out as a result of planning enforcement complaints. We went there and they acted upon that promptly and put in some mixed hedging. And so that's an objection to the council's landscape officer with respect to the new hedge plan. This again is looking north on the front of the site. You can see the front elevation of the southern house there. The new hedging is in the fences that have just been put in there. A site from across the road looking the southeast, which is about, you can see part of the church in the background. This is, so the southernmost house here, this is looking east of the church on the right hand side, and you can see the fence just about the back of the wall there, sort of boundary fence between. That's what you can see, the hedge in front of it there. This is from the churchyard looking towards the application site. You can see the existing wall on the southwest corner, and then actually see those existing headers. You can't actually see the existing fence there. And that's from the front of the site, looking towards the application site, from the front of the church. Another view from slightly different angles from the Main Street. Again, you can see rather than seeing the fence, you can see the hedge instead. Much higher. Again, it's from within the churchyard, looking northeast. This is the hedge and tree coverage, completely sort of obscuring the fence view. This is one of the same, roughly November of last year, this photograph. You see even in the last time of the year, the fence is invisible. The application site can be from the churchyard. In terms of that, maybe the applicants put forward the device scheme, and that's before the council's recommendation for the commission of applicants.
Thank you. We do have a speaker on this one, John Goodell. Yeah.
Just introduce myself. I'm the fabric officer for St. Andrew's Church in Waterloo. And I've been asked to represent the council of PCC for the church council to present our feelings about this retrospective or suggestion that we might be here. I'm going to just bring out the saving points very quickly, and it's going to consist of the drawings which have not been shown. The hedge, the fence, and the stone wall. And I think these might come to the design issues for the landscape or enclosures. Drawings. The original drawings stated in the description of the proposed variation and provided by the District Council planning for public response are not the same as those now stated in the description in the letter dated the 27th of May. From Blindale District Council recommending approval of the variation. The drawings revision A has now appeared without any prior reference and is inaccurate. The other original drawing is also inaccurate, which is drawing 230/216.1. I have no idea when the second drawing was received, but it came literally with the recommendation for approval. The hedge. This is not a hedge. It's a random collection of self-seeding and native plants made up of about 30% of hawthorn, 70% of sycamore and self-seeding elderberry, and thistle, of which about 80% of it is thistle. This is not shaped or intended to be a hedge, and is quite unsightly. Reference to fence. This is the builder's alternative wooden fence to the planning approved dry stone wall and is hidden from view. When I raised this with planning, I was told that you can't see it, which has just been said, so that's okay. That's okay. It's also out of alignment with the existing stone wall, which is in the wooden fence. The wall itself, we say that you can't see the dry stone wall either, and that's not okay. When in the autumn with a nondescript wooden fence being preferable to an attractive dry stone wall in a grade 2 listed area. And this one. Thank you.
In terms of the revised drawings, there are two particular drawings of this application. First, one is a landscaping plan, one is a block plan supplied by the agent rather than the landscape architect, landscape contractor, so we'll have them. The description between them is that the block plan is still including some mature trees that have going to be there from the previous scheme. The amended landscaping scheme that we approved, so between landscape officers and council sort of verified this, and we've got it revised so that it sort of take on more accurate. So that's why it was revised. And we've got to mention that beforehand.
From the churchyard to the north, which is in the photograph.
primary visible boundary tree, which is the stone wall. The length of fence is well screened by the trees.
Off to the right,
yes,
and to give a
maximum adherence to that wall to the existing one. But isn't that a significant drop in visual benefit from the view from a listed building?
Well, that's the judgment. You have to make an art and choose this as it is now. As it is now, what you're looking at now is you're acceptable when you don't accept it. Because this is what we're basically now. We've approved a different scheme, we've received objections to the earlier scheme or the outfield situation, but it doesn't follow the approved plan. And that takes us down a path of whether what we're now being asked to accept is acceptable. We're recommending to you that it is. It will find that it's true or not.
Council Mr. Chair.
How far would the stone wall that was proposed have run down the side there? What's the distance from the point of view that you can go back to go along with the 16
in the plan, sorry. The wall goes, would have gone, the fence roughly goes down. You can see the edge of the rear boundary of the fence here. So it's approximately 50% of the south boundary of the application site.
So what distance is it from the Thank you, sir. I may be going along the same lines as you with this, actually.
Sorry, yeah, I believe it was. I didn't know the cycle of that. The fence was in situ when I was there.
It doesn't quite significantly it definitely looks like a new building. When that building was, when the planning commission was granted, I think the church and everybody wanted the whole site tied up, and that meant, that meant having a dry stone wall all the way down the side of the graveyard. That was commendable. This committee agreed with it. It was an improvement to the ambience of the church scheme itself. We're only talking about a small section of the wall. I cannot myself personally see why this committee should not be insisting for that, for the planning is here to see. As regards where the wall was built, I'm sure either church would agree that it could be built on hedges and lines, or else that wall could be built on the own land. I really do not see why we should compromise to give it a compromise and our position at all. If the applicant doesn't like it, if there was an appeal, I'm sure he'd do that with the representation. If he does a decent thing, he'll do what he promised to do right at the beginning.
Thank you.
visit, so we'll take a vote on that. All those in favour of the site visit, please show. Okay, all those against the site visit, please show. Abstentions. So that means that those are out there, site visit.
The one that was the extension is the other side of that page.
According to the drawing, the property is here. If you look at the elevation, it's showing a line coming down the chimney.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's sort of like a third.
Yeah.
Third, third,
yeah.
Third. So the lead is behind it.
Any other questions? Oh, sorry,
and
that other looks. The other one's property. In the room. So, what do we do about that from that one?
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
patients on the channel, page 243 of the channel. It's a full application for the erection of a three-bed bungalow and attached garage. And I think although you will see that the description of the location is described as the land that manor view shed, the property adjacent to the land is also on the loan the actual access to the site is real more modern development of the east side of the main village street there. It is over a section of land which is located between two existing windmills on the recent development channel. So I hope the photographs will make that a little bit clearer. Page 244 shows the precise setting out of this particular on the access that will be formed between the two existing windmills. And so, Chairman, this is the this is the extent of the adopted highway at the moment in my view. Yeah. So at the end of this cul-de-sac, it's essentially a section of roadway left here, an existing dwelling here, existing bungalow there, and the application site is beyond it, it's beyond that hedge. At the moment, this is a piece of land that I think was left by the developer of that existing dwelling. Actually goes straight through into this parcel here. So at the moment it's looked at it's actually shown as part of the vehicle parking space for the adjacent dwelling. If you just go back to the slide, the parking arrangement, the parking for that dwelling is off the side of the field. So the access will come in at this point here through the hedge road, and as you look at page 244, then the running road will be would be essentially behind in this area here. So hopefully that will be in the same point. So this is within the site, looking in an easterly direction. You can see that the site's got a slight dog leg in it, and this is that dog leg in the boundary. So this is within the, what would be the rear garden of the proposed, looking towards the full extent of the land known. So the red line is finishing around about here, and there is other land that's shown as blue land beyond. And beyond that is a hedgerow, and beyond that is actually a public right of way. So that's quite an eastern periphery of the land that's only shown as blue on the location. This is a view looking back and south towards the flank wall in the nearest neighbouring hedgerow. So again, you get a feel for the hedgerow boundary. Thinner in some parts, as you can see. This is a view looking back down the block towards the existing dwellings which are on the main village street. So if you're looking back across here, this is the neighbouring property, and these properties are all on the main village street, so they're set some considerable distance. Again, this is a view taken from the southern end of the site, looking back along the what would be the northwestern end. So again, you can see that it's quite a well contained site. This is a view from the southwest corner of the site, looking back towards the bungalow again that I mentioned. So you've got quite a solid hedgerow here, but then it becomes a bit more fragmented at this point. And this is the return wall. So the access would come in this area here through that. So this is the manor view development beyond. From within the site of the side bank. As you can see, there are one or two trees dotted within the site. Again, this is a view back, but this is at the dogleg to the rear of what's shown as number 50 on the location plan. So you can see there's quite a substantial wall there, side fence, and the main property is some way to the left. That's it, Jim. Something you want to add at this stage, where that you've got an objective.
Okay, we do have an object. You probably got this is Patricia Solid Farm, this is Kathleen Green. This is Solid Utilities.
outside of the development limits of Remington. For me, the concern is the layout of the build, as I will only have 1.5 metres from our home to an access path and gap, which is an issue regarding noise and pollution. The great concern for residents in Manor View is the opening of the access road, which will mean removing large areas of garden land, bringing traffic noise and pollution much closer to our homes, many of which have bedrooms close to the road. Furthermore, the possibility of greater traffic flow if future building is allowed. We've never been consulted about plans relating to water and drainage issues and the disruption involved with heavy vehicles. Also, whether the access road to the build will be gated off. Widening the road itself is a major task and will encroach on residents' private property, disrupting daily lives for quite some time and affecting the free flow of private cars. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other
speakers?
Of the actual position of the building, which is shown on page 244 of the
where it says site plan 1 to 1, 1 to 250,
yeah,
on that road. The development that it is at the dog leg immediately to the rear of the bungalow and runs to the
house.
Exactly, it's two north east directions. So to all intents and purposes, the building is immediately outside of what that line is shown on this plan. So that's your development that you're looking at the moment. It's got right a lot of time from the council and the government. So in that sense, the building lies immediately adjacent to outside of the limit. And I think this sort of brings me back to the question we were talking about earlier on, application one, is it outside of the limit? Yes, it is. But you still have the planning authority to read the emerge plans as a whole and see what it means in terms of policy. The other nuance for Willington, that as members will know, that is one of the identified services. And so with that in mind, when we did the consultation on the site of the preferred site for the village, we actually chose the preferred site for the village, for Willington, which was site 638, which is immediately to the north of this site, and the effect of which is to surround this plot by manor new development on the one side, the existing village development on the other, and site 638 on the other. So you've got a site that's actually within three sites, and then at the back you've got public right of wire. Four planning officers have been asked to look at this, and their comments, which were given to the case officer, was that A, developers at this site have no implications for the delivery of our preferred site. And the basis for that was that they were content that this proposal did not have a policy in principle objection. And whilst we do have a 5-year landscape plan, which comes back to the other conference that we talked about, there is a need to maintain that supply. So, for example, we are sitting here today with 5.8 years supply. But it's if you have to view it as a moving supply. So, if we stopped granting planning permissions today, and the builders kept building at the rate they have been for the last 4 years, within 6 months we've lost 5 years supply. That's how it works. So, we still have to keep granting planning permissions at the appropriate location. In principle, the policy officers haven't got an objection to it. For the direction of one more development at Willington in a service. Yeah. So they're not raising the policy objection, they're just a whole. I know that's not quite a white answer to the question, but it's a good answer to give you. At the end of the day, we need to look at ourselves here and say, well, what is the harm? The local harm is very much centered around access and disturbance associated with the access from more recent manner of new development. As you'll learn, I'm going to clarify, from my own information while the student was speaking, there was a retained access here. The retained access was retained by Sturgeon Building and Central Buildings. In planning terms, what was submitted is essentially a red line which serves notice on that development. There is no suggestion, however. I think some concerns have been levelled at this scheme. Is, well, what if it did go to Van Gion? What if it did go to Van Gion? Because that then potentially goes to the book. There is no suggestion of that. What we currently have, in the way of the application elsewhere further north, is another application already in for spot 638, which does not show access to any people who have access on the domain. So what we have here is an access to a single dwelling to a single block. It's not showing an access through to an
ambulance.
So depending on what you said, and it's been consistent and it's outside the development. The building itself is outside the development. Can you say that we have identified on that basis, why haven't we redefined the development of Remington to take that into account?
The answer is very simple, Chairman.
because our site's document is not available to the town as well. And when we go through to examination with that, it's only at that time that we submit it, it's examined and becomes a document that we're in a position to adopt, redefine, develop, and push into that. So that's done. It's a two-part plan. And to some extent, the villages are being held up by the final decisions we need to make on the town. So that's where we are. And in the meantime, applications still come in, so we can deal with applications and deal with them as best we can. In principle, the service village allocation will be able to identify as a performance of the town where the plan identifies for 300 dwellings in the totality of the service village. And that is a precise size. We appreciate that it's 10, 30, something like 10 or about 300 people. If it works like that, as you know, that's lots of coming different amounts. And, you know, if it's down the road, it'd be a pretty big scheme with 70 dwellings in Sherwood. Bonus to take a bit of pressure off the village, but in terms of where we are with that process, it's very difficult in a service location to identify because service is a sun shop, it's a school. In wider terms, they're relatively sustainable settlements, but one additional problem in principle is a problem. You know, the comments that we have raised that issue, but I think more of the comments that we've had. More issue breaking cards that we have, it's more about some specific issues about access, more those sorts of issues. And fear of opening out to something bigger. I think I'm pretty confident that on its own we can stop that because the condition for that effect. What gives me some comfort to that is the fact that is being proposed, we actually have another speed meeting, another new application to show. Site seems to be actually an access or a totally different access on the main village street. So I'm pretty certain that that's not the aspiration.
I'm fully aware of what the development is proposing, but that's not
service in with running, it's not proposing a link route to link to something else rather than bigger. And if that is your concern, then you could presumably say there shall be no access beyond this answer to something else, if that's what you really, if that's your key issue. It seems to me that at the moment, I drove the man of you, myself, and something else, and the park foot, which probably is all rash.
No.
But it's very quiet, and it's not much use. And so I can understand those concerns that if what resulted here was more than two dwellings on the red and the blue land behind the rear of the property, then if I lived in one of the end two bungalows, I might feel a bit different about mine.
Yes.
But that's what's being proposed. If members want to specifically ram it home by saying we will impose the condition saying there shall be, you're imposing a condition on something that's not been applied for, but that's what gives you the comfort to say, right, the amenity of people in Manorview is protected, then so be it. There is no proposal on the table that is linked the two sites together so that Manorview becomes a loop.
No, but it will be.
Well, that was on the table, and so that is something that if you feel that strongly about it, it's a planning committee. If that's your key issue, then you control it.
As the bungalow itself, it's only marginally outside of the development line. I've no problem with that. We'd have difficulty refusing that, and it's not very important but my concern is that it does remain a quiet area for the residents who are there now and shopping for the museum. So I'm going to move approval with the condition that it is only access to the one to that pot. And it can be done, you can condition it, but it's just with that one pot, and there's no.
Yeah.
One pot, yeah. Thank you.
safety hazard in the north location, with no other considerations that were like the heritage considerations or the landscape considerations, and that on balance, taking the part at all, given all the policies, that you could not go another peg to hang on the cruise on, other than this outside of the government. But you've got to remember this development is evolving from surveys of the land for all the years in vain. And so we don't,
background. That doesn't mean they're
circumstances are that this is acceptable. That's the professional recommendation.
Thank you.
nature of the to report which starts on page 247. Attached to that. Not any more months, which we've just got to the point where we've not been able to make progress
does that compare with, say, if it was a, if it being remained as a farm, farmyard, operating farmyard?
Almost impossible to say, really, Sharon. I mean, in terms of the this is a particular problem with certain districts, my perception reading between the lines of the detail. The climate seems to be particularly a problem, and the nature of the business is such that I think batches of activity happen. You know, a lot of wood is planned to be a certain length, they plod in their road, and then it's done for a while. So the 15-minute LEQ is plodding out the water, and we're planning for 2 hours, or whatever it might be. I think part of it is the stagnant nature of the activity. Part of it, I think, is the rules of wood conditions relating to hours, which haven't necessarily been strictly rooted to apply to it. So the morning activity, we have complaints about activity prior to the committee commencement time. We have addressed that and raised that with the operator, but there seems to be an effectiveness and it was away. Thank you.
Thank you.
needs a bit of muscle behind, so get behind the association. And muscle comes from resolution of muscle, then take important action. That gym, hopefully, that's authority is given to the planning team. They will be able to sort it out, and that will never come back to this committee again, except as an application for variation or whatever. So I would propose the Republic's recommendation, Chairman.
Thank you for that, Councillor Andrews. The only assistance I might see probably further is, would you say, I was going to say 14 days, but even though we know it's already now taking advice, but perhaps coming on the road, so it's a bank program before. There is already, we believe, in course, environmental health experts involved and allegedly a consultant, a planning consultant. But we can't keep being serious following the petrol. I need to put it down to the table.
Thank you.
Over the last 23 years, have the noise levels changed significantly?
Noise one, some more work.
then set that out for